This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Swuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
However, Chagulanyi's freedom was short-lived. He was immediately rearrested and taken to the Gulu Chief Magistrate's Court, where he was charged with treason and remanded to Gulu Prison.
That's reporter Catherine Nambi updating us on the court proceedings against Ugandan lawmaker Robert Chagulanyi. Details next.
Also, Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court is set to rule tomorrow on a challenge to the legitimacy of the July 30th elections. And U.S. Congressional Representative Chris Smith is in Ethiopia today, meeting with the Prime Minister and other officials.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, Ugandan legislator Robert Sentamu Chagulanyi, better known as Bobi Wine, has been rearrested and charged with treason. The move occurred shortly after a military court dropped charges against him. Chagulanyi was facing charges of illegal possession of firearms and ammunition. Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
This morning, things were looking up for the musician turned legislator. A military court dropped charges against Robert Chagulanyi, better known to fans as Bobi Wine. The military court had charged him with two counts of illegal possession of firearms on August 15th and detained him in a facility for over a week. In an early morning session court, prosecutor Major Raphael Magezi asked that the charges be withdrawn. But he said Chagulanyi should be added to the list of others facing treason charges. The ruling was delivered by General Court Martial Chairman, Lieutenant General Andrew Guti.
Continuing to try the accused persons on the same facts of another case in a civil court will cause injustice to the accused. It is fair and equitable that the accused person be tried in civil court where he is to be charged with other suspects who are not before this court. This court hereby terminates the proceedings against Honorable Robert Chagulanyi before this court. You are accordingly set free unless being held on other charges.
However, Chagulanyi's freedom was short-lived. He was immediately rearrested and taken to the Gulu Chief Magistrate's Court, where he was charged with treason and remanded to Gulu Prison. The treason charge was read to Chagulanyi by Yunus Ndiwalana, the Gulu Grade 1 Magistrate, who did not allow him to enter a plea.
The charge you are charged with is capital in nature. And this court has no jurisdiction to try it or to even allow you to speak any word pertaining to the charge. You are hereby remanded until the 30th day of August 2018 when the others will come.
People power! People power!
The magistrate allowed Chagulanyi, who appeared to be in pain and walking with the use of crutches and the support of prison warders, to access medical treatment.
They are choosing a person, particularly, and others in similar condition, are allowed to access their private doctors at any time, as and when. And those who cannot afford private doctors are hereby directed to the prison authorities, taking them to the necessary facilities to ensure that their health is guaranteed.
Prosecution accuses Chagulanyi and 32 others, including four legislators, of unlawfully throwing stones at a convoy carrying President Yoweri Museveni. Authorities say the rear window of the vehicle was smashed in the attack. Samuel Walter Lubega is a Ugandan politician supporting the People Power Pressure Group. He says the continued detention of Chagulanyi will not deter their movement.
Bobi Wine still gives us hope, because much as his body is weak, much as he was beaten, he was tortured, but his spirit is strong. Everyone could see him struggling to smile, struggling to wave to the people, because the spirit within him was still strong. People power will be exhibited everywhere across the country and abroad. We thank the people for that.
Protests calling for the release of Chagulanyi have taken place across Uganda, in neighboring countries, and also among Ugandans in the diaspora. As the court cases were going on in Gulu, the Uganda police and the army were heavily deployed outside the homes of several opposition leaders. Museveni's major rival, Dr. Kizza Besigye, was arrested at his home and whisked to a police post. According to Kampala Metropolitan Police spokesperson Luke Owoyesigire, the action was taken in response to information that they were planning to incite violence. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Johnny Carson, who has served as U.S. Ambassador to Uganda, Zimbabwe, and Kenya, and as Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs, gives us a look at some of the background of the political situation in Uganda and the challenges moving forward. He spoke with VOA's Paul Alexander about the current situation in Uganda and the challenges that it faces.
Uganda's youth bulge presents enormous economic and political challenges to Uganda. As more and more children go through school, become school leavers, start to look for jobs, and don't find them, the greater the both economic hardship and the political problems increase. Finding jobs for Uganda's growing youth population is going to be both an economic and a political challenge to the government. Government needs to find an effective way to generate more employment for university graduates, high school graduates, and those coming on to the market. These younger people are not interested for the most part in becoming farmers and are looking increasingly for jobs in urban areas that don't exist.
The creation of the NDC took away some of the military support that Museveni had relied on. Now Wine has taken away some of the youth support. So where does his core lay right now?
President Museveni continues to have strong support in many parts of the rural areas of Uganda. His support can be found among the small farmers in the farming community across the country, many of whom have benefited from the infrastructure and economic improvements of the past two decades.
And what do you think Uganda needs to sort of continue and even speed up the growth that it has had in recent years?
Uganda has to make a concerted effort to attract more international investment. And also to generate more domestic private sector investment. It needs to develop and strengthen its small manufacturing sector, and it needs to find ways to provide employment for a increasingly large number of young Ugandans.
That was former U.S. Ambassador Johnny Carson, now with the U.S. Institute of Peace, speaking with VOA's Paul Alexander.
Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court is set to rule Friday on a challenge to the legitimacy of the July 30th elections. The opposition says the ruling party, which officially won both the presidential and parliamentary polls, did not win fairly. Whatever the outcome, analysts and opposition supporters argue the drama over the poll has damaged its credibility and will hurt the ruling party's legitimacy. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg with reporting from Columbus Mafhunga in Harare.
This was supposed to be the poll that set Zimbabwe free. Free from the long oppressive rule of Robert Mugabe, free from the suspicions and violence that have come to characterize elections, and free from the expectation that the ruling ZANU-PF party would prevail, as it has in every election since its nation won independence in 1980. So far, the July 30th vote has delivered none of that. opposition presidential candidate Nelson Chamisa filed suit in the nation's constitutional court, asserting that results showing incumbent Emmerson Mnangagwa won a razor-thin victory were not accurate, and that he was the actual winner. Chamisa's lawyers on Wednesday presented what they say is clear evidence that the results had been falsified. Zimbabwean author and academic Ibo Mandaza says he agrees with the opposition, but like many other analysts, he expects the court to dismiss the election challenge on Friday.
It's an indictment on the African state. It's a cynical response to the population, to the people of Zimbabwe. I'm disgusted.
Paul Mangwana, ZANU-PF Secretary for Legal Affairs, said he would not comment on an ongoing case, but he and other party leaders have repeatedly expressed confidence in the poll. This was Mnangagwa's first presidential run. He took power in November after Mugabe resigned under pressure from the military.
We prepared well for our case. The rest is for the judges.
Opposition lawyer Dali Mpofu, one of two South African lawyers who were denied work permits and barred from the court, says what happens inside the court isn't the only challenge ahead for Zimbabwe.
Well, we can only say that the election, the freeness and fairness of an election is not only determined on election day. These issues of climate and the atmosphere, such as what is happening now, obviously contribute. And the only good thing is that the international community is watching. Because although we are here as lawyers to talk about legality, but there are also issues of legitimacy, which are not in our hands.
Mandaza believes the court's ruling will not be the end of the story.
Well, I think Mnangagwa's legitimacy is dented even more than ever before. If the intention was to sanitize and legitimize the coup, I think it has failed dismally. The crisis continues.
The court rules Friday afternoon, and according to the Constitution, the presidential inauguration will be held within 48 hours. Anita Pell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
U.S. President Donald Trump is ruffling feathers in South Africa. Trump tweeted inaccurately that the South African government is seizing white-owned farms. Now, President Cyril Ramaphosa's government is demanding clarity from the American Embassy in Pretoria. Ordinary South Africans are weighing in on social media saying President Trump should stay out of the country's affairs. Others feel he's trying to deflect from the embarrassing issues he faces at home. From Johannesburg, Nadia Same has the story.
South Africans woke up to news that U.S. President Donald Trump had tweeted about their country's plans to expropriate land without compensation. The idea, aimed at addressing apartheid inequalities, is a hot topic because the government has said it wants to find ways to increase black ownership of land. Blacks make up 80% of the population, but white farmers own more than 70% of agricultural land. Now, the governing African National Congress has endorsed the idea of a constitutional amendment to expropriate land from white farmers without payment. The government has begun a series of open discussions and debates on the way forward on this issue. But no land has been seized and no changes to policy have been made. Brooke Spector is a former U.S. diplomat and international relations expert based in Johannesburg. He unpacks the apparent source of Trump's tweet.
Mr. Trump seems to be responding most directly to a story that was broadcast on Fox News, which relied heavily on the interpretations of things by a researcher at the Cato Institute, a man by the name of Marion Tupi. And Tupi seems to be relying substantially on interpretations of things from the farmer, largely white organization, AfriForum.
Spector says the Fox News report was inaccurate. In the tweet, Trump says he's asked his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to closely study what he called land and farm seizures, expropriation, and large-scale killing of farmers. He notes the Fox News report. However, South African police data for last year show farm murders and attacks on blacks and whites are down by around 40% in the past 15 years. Reaction in the country has been swift. Hundreds of Twitter posts said the U.S. should stay out of South African affairs. Others insulted Trump and Fox News. Many citizens are fuming. Siraj Ahmed recently completed his master's degree in the United States.
Firstly, I think Mr. Trump centering so-called large-scale farm killings, you know, just continues his agenda, which he's made very obvious over the past few years. It ignores the killings of black bodies in townships across South Africa and centers white people who are murdered. You know, any murder is unacceptable, but to center certain killings, we have to question the agenda behind doing that.
Spector, the former diplomat, says the incident should be viewed in the context of what Trump is currently facing at home.
We need to remember that he sent this kind of message out in a week where he's had several notable embarrassments, the chairman of his campaign for the presidency and his personal attorney. Both have been in court, and the one has been convicted of a number of federal crimes, and the other has pled guilty to a number of federal crimes. That can't be easy for him. He has to be angry.
Spector says it's possible that in his anger, Trump may have just lashed out at something that caught his eye. And the Fox News report on South Africa was it. In its report about South Africa, Fox News read a statement from the U.S. State Department that said South Africans are grappling with the difficult issue of land reform through an open process of hearings and civil society engagement. The South African government has meanwhile approached the U.S. Embassy for clarity on President Trump's tweets. For VOA, I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhib, 22 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Ugandan legislator Robert Chagulani, better known as Bobby Wine, has been rearrested and charged with treason. And Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court is set to rule tomorrow on a challenge to the legitimacy of the July 30 elections. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
U.S. Congressional Representative Chris Smith is in Ethiopia today, meeting with the prime minister and other officials. He's that recent changes on human rights and other reforms are good progress for the nation. Earlier this week, he sat down with our colleague Solomon Solomon to discuss a variety of issues ahead of his trip to Africa. One of them focuses on concerns that U.S. engagement in Africa may be faltering, from a drop in diplomatic relations to a plan to draw down U.S. service members stationed across the continent. But the U.S. continues to engage via humanitarian programs like Power Africa.
We'll be meeting with the prime minister, the foreign minister, and many others while we're in Addis Ababa. It's part of an ongoing effort that I, as chairman of the Africa Committee, and many other members have undertaken for decades to try to promote peace, reconciliation, and human rights in Ethiopia. I did HRES 128 just this past July, that laid out a number of benchmarks that we in the Congress feel should be achieved to show that this government is moving in the right direction. For example, the release of all the political prisoners. There's no reason why there be any political prisoners. If somebody commits violence, that's one thing. But when somebody is agitating for reform, is peacefully picketing, that person should not be rounded up and thrown into a hellhole.
Will these changes that you are mentioning, release of prisoners and other dramatic changes that Ethiopia is seeing, will these changes stick?
I believe they'll stick as long as the political will is there. There needs to be cooperation on all fronts. You know, the diaspora who will be returning, the men and women who are part of the opposition who have been justifiably aggrieved and feel that they have been wronged, they now have a seat at the table. I think the parliament needs to work in a very cooperative way with the prime minister. And there are other systemic problems like the proclamations dealing with anti-terrorism that need to be amended. There is a group of people, about a dozen or so, who are looking at it, lawyers trying to come up with changes there. Very often, the pretext for crackdowns, and this is global, is invoking, well, we're just trying to mitigate terrorism. That doesn't cut it when it's being used against people who just want to have their say in the process and, you know, democracy and recognition of fundamental, universally recognized human rights.
What other potential fault lines that you would see could happen in the moving forward of Ethiopia's sure. political situation?
Well, there's still some problems with Somali region in terms of its government. There is the former finance minister has now assumed the leadership there, and the previous person has been incarcerated. I believe that, you know, even there, the appeal has to be for everyone to stand down and let democracy work. Discuss things at a table. Never use violence. Violence has to be completely, you know, laid aside, because that's not the way forward.
Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey spoke with VOA's Salem Solomon about ties between African nations and the U.S.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC. For another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Xiaogun Cheng, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, pressure mounts on Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni over the beating and detention of music star Bobi Wine. And we'll discuss the legacy of Kofi Annan on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings knows you want the hottest music, and we're here to give it to you.
Give me something nice and shiny.
Join host Larry London at 1500 Universal every weekday in August for your chance to win a copy of the new Now That's What I Call Music Volume 67 CD.
Music to my ears.
Featuring the biggest hits from Maroon 5.
Girls like you run around with guys like me to sundown when I come through. I need a girl like
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, no, I'd go back to you.
Post Malone, Cardi B, and more. This is your all-access pass to the biggest songs of the summer.
Hey, 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 special delivery.
Don't miss out on your chance to snag a free copy of Now 67, with different ways to win every weekday in August.
I'm the girl who's gonna win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
Only on Border Crossings.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.